Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Rocky, and I want to thank you for listening to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown Show on the best AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network.
Yo.
The best sports karate interviews, special announcements, and special surprises each week on this Tuesday night. Professor Gary Lee has a knockout punch every week for your enjoyment. Supporting the Sports Karate Museum Archives and the history in America. It ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit to keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yo, Professor Gary Lee, great job.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee, and thank you for allowing us to come into your home every Tuesday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. You know, the first of the month is really special for me because one of the ideas I did was to put together people around the country and let them share their opinions on various topics. We call it the 4+1. But before I introduce my special guest tonight and the introduction of the 4+1, I would like to bring on my producer, Hanchi Jesse Bowen, the man that has put me on the air for the past going on 10 years, I believe. Hanchi Bowen?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. Well, normally I have you at the end of the show, but I'm going to have you at the beginning tonight. Tell us what's going on with the Elite Publication. And I know you're working with the South Americans, and we got our book, and U.S. Senator Bill Wallace tribute. What you got going on? Share with us. Share with us, Hanchi Bowen. What you got going on, sir? Can you hear me, sir? Well, there must be a miscommunication. Well, I'd like to go ahead and introduce my co-host that puts up with me every week. The first man I want to bring on is Mr. Dean Biles. Are you there, Dean, yet? Live radio, I love it. AJ, are you there?
I'm always here, Gary. How are you?
Well, I'm excited about this show tonight.
I think I heard Dean.
But you heard Dean? Is Dean there?
I did.
No, this was Hanchi Bowen. I just got kicked off. I just called back in.
Okay, well, you'll make up for the time. I want to bring you on first. What have you got going on? Share with my listeners.
Well, you know, we're really super excited about coming up in January. We will be launching next week the first Women's Hall of Honors. And that's going to be coming up in New Jersey with Sifu Goldberg's event. We have the Women's Hall of Honors book. We also have his history book. And we also have an author's expo that we're going to be launching in January. So we're really excited about it. The first cover of the book draft came out today. And this is about women who have been martial artists, competitors in the 20th century. So this is going to be a great event, a great book. It's going to be an award ceremony just for women in the martial arts. That's going to be on Friday night. I think that's the 27th, it might be the 28th in January. So his event is on Saturday night. Our event is on Friday night. But it's going to all be all about women in the martial arts, the 21st century, honoring those ladies. And again, we have a tribute book that's going to be dedicated to them. So we're really excited about it.
Well, that's exciting because, you know, next year I'm honoring Karen Eden Herdman, and we're going to do the women again. You know, I promised the girls 10 years ago when I did Malia, the Caskus, that every chance that the Sport Card Museum could do it, to honor the women, we would do it. The first year we had over 100 black belt women show up, and next year with Karen's event, we're going to be honoring the women too. So I really do a shout out to all the girls in karate, because I remember, Jesse, when there wasn't any women in karate. That's how old I am. But, you know, the girls deserve a thank you. And it doesn't matter what rank they are, or if they're a champion in sport karate or whatever. Teachers, we deserve to say thank you to them. And thank you for stepping up and doing that on the East Coast. You're one of the best guys. Appreciate you so much. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the two co-hosts that put up with me every week. Now, I heard Dean's voice. Dean, are you there? AJ, you said you heard his voice.
I thought I did. Hachi Bowen must have been doing the imitations.
Well, I know he's working on school, and you know, he brought down some dogs from Virginia. So I know he's really, really busy. But, you know, I'm sure he'll get on a little bit. So Hachi Bowen, listen for Dean, okay? AJ, let me introduce you, buddy. Now, guys, you guys know I don't use the word master and grandmaster, but I love using the word master for this man. He is a master in Tang Suzo Karate, and he is a real deal, ladies and gentlemen. He is going to be performing for the memorial service that we're going to do for the guys we lost last year, and not any particular order. We're going to be honoring Mr. J. Pat Burleson, Jonathan Tivadad, Jim Harrison, Leo Fong, Dean LaBelle, Bob Wall, Harry Mock, Reverend Pack, Willie Holland, Jackie Anderson. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We lost a lot of history last year. But, you know, they're with me. Every year I do my event, they're my karate angels. And A.J. Perry is going to be doing a performance in the honor of all those people. AJ, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you for the nice introduction. Appreciate it.
Well, I can't wait to see you perform, bud. And that'll be Friday night, October 7th, in Houston, Texas, at the West Chase Marriott, and it'll be at 6 o'clock. So I'm excited to have you and Jenny, Pless, Dean Piles, Barry Byers, Karen Eder Herman, all performing, so it's going to be really exciting. I even got Rocky DiRico. Remember Rocky DiRico?
Oh, yeah. He's a great competitor. Yeah, just a really nice man. Very nice man.
He's going to come perform for the memorial, and he's also got his John Paul Mitchell International Black Belt Hall of Fame Awards. He's doing at 5 o'clock. So, but anyway, AJ, God bless you, buddy.
Let me tell you something about Rocky DiRico. I remember, okay, you know, when I first started out in NASCAR tournaments, you know, it's a big event. And, you know, you're like a newcomer there, and, you know, you're just trying to check things out, what's going on. And he was one of the first guys that shook my hand and said, thank you for coming. And that meant a lot. And not many people did that. You know, he's a class act.
I love Rocky, but you know how many third places I took to him? You know,
seriously, he's a class act.
Yeah, I enjoy getting beat by him, put it that way. You know, he's a sweet guy. But he's coming down. He called me last night, and he got his plane ticket stuff. So it's going to be pretty cool to see Rock. And come on, anybody named Rocky, he's got to be cool, right? So, there you go. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's Master AJ Perry. Now, I've got a special guest tonight. And I say special because most of you don't realize for 22 years of my life, I was a professional bass fisherman. I won the 1987 Texas BASS Federation Championship, and I got picked up by some sponsors, particularly Ranger Boats, that put me all over America doing shows. And, you know, I taught karate. I did the shows, but also I spent a lot of time on the water. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have something very special. I've got my fishing partner, the new Texas BASS Federation champion, and the Big O. That's right, the Big O, Mr. Steve Parks. Probably the best well-known outdoorsman I know. Wesley Baxter and the Big O are doing a free seminar at the Legends event. This is so cool. At 2 o'clock in the ballroom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got on the phone the Texas BAS champion. We're going to talk a little bit about it. Wesley, you there, buddy?
Down here. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited about getting you on the radio and just talking fish. So, first of all, people don't really understand. We don't cover our line and throw a minnow out and wait for a fish to bite. We're predators. And I want you to explain that to some people, what's it like looking for fish and what you got to do to find a fish to win a tournament. And you go to a tournament almost every weekend, right?
Yeah, I was at a tournament last weekend, our Federation Team Championship, and I'm getting ready to leave tomorrow to go to Lake Fort for the Big Bass Splash.
Now, again, tell people what's it like being a predator, looking for the fish, and what you got to do to find the fish in general.
Yeah, like you said, we don't sit around watching a bobber for hours. I started out doing that as a kid, and it just wasn't my cup of tea. I wanted to go look for them if we weren't catching them. So that's what we do. If you're not getting bit and it's not the right kind, you're looking for them.
Now, Chelsea, let's talk a little bit about your boat. You've got, I'm not talking about a boat with just a motor. You've got a really first-class boat, bass boat. Now, what kind of boat do you run now?
I'm running a Skeeter ZX200.
Now, Skeeter is a Texas organization, isn't it?
They're made up in Kilgore, Texas.
There you go. And the Big O, he's been sponsored by Skeeter for years. I know he gets like a $100,000 boat every year. He's spoiled. But tell me about what kind of things you have in your boat to make it unique to find those big fish, like the, you know, the locator and the you know, trolling motor. What kind of things do you have on your boat?
Yep, so on my boat, I run all the Rance fish finders. I've got five of them, and all of them run anything from maps.
Wait a minute. Five? Why do you have
five? I've got
five.
Because there's a lot of things that I want them to tell me. I'll have one for side imaging, another one for maps, another one for looking down with down imaging. And in the front of the boat, I have all the same thing. I've got one for maps and one for shooting out in front of the boat.
Cool. So you're looking for the fish all around wherever you're located, wherever you're going at. Now, what about your trolling motor? What makes that unique?
Yeah, the trolling motor is a Minn Kota Ultrax, and it's got the spot lock feature where you can just hit a button and it'll keep you with GPS right on the spot that you push the button, so you don't have to mess with it while you're fishing.
Cool. Now, I want to explain when we talk about getting on plane. Like, say there's 350 people in a tournament, and they go in waves, like 100 people at a time. What's important about getting to your fishing spot first and you get on plane? How fast can your boat go?
So, yeah, you don't want anybody getting to your spots before you do. You got to catch those fish before them. So, yeah, as soon as they call my boat number, I'm putting the pedal to the metal, and we're doing 70 the whole way there, trying to beat everybody
else.
How fast?
How fast?
About 70 miles an hour.
Okay, you're going 70 miles an hour without a seatbelt on either side. Now, what are the safety measures of going that fast, like the kill switch and life preservers, of course?
Yeah, yeah.
That's required.
Yeah, always required, especially in the state of Texas. It's a law that you always have a kill switch when you're running a boat. So if you come out of it,
now,
the boat
quits
running.
Explain what a kill switch is, Wesley.
Yeah, so
explain what a kill switch is.
It's a tether that hooks up to your life jacket. That way, if you come out of the boat, it'll pull a switch on the next to the ignition that'll turn off the engine of the boat. That way, if you come out, the boat doesn't keep running.
And that's mandatory, correct?
Yep, mandatory in the state law in Texas.
And they'll get you on a polygraph at the end of the tournament if you didn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yep.
Well, explain a polygraph because, you know, we're not criminals, but there's people out there that cheat. And the polygraph is a part of winning bass tournaments to take home that check. You have to pass that polygraph to the questions that is asked of you for you to actually win, especially if you got good weight. Now, I won a tournament one year when a guy put ice down the bass's mouth, and he got caught on the polygraph. Can you believe that?
Yeah, people will do anything to make some money. I know that.
Well, I won one tournament where a guy caught the bass on Friday night, put him on a stringer on a log, and put him in the live well on Saturday. And I won a tournament on that cheating aspect. But, you know, I know what people do. When there's money involved, there's always people out there that want to, okay, you know, do something bad and stuff. But, you know, but we got to, that's how they govern it. They govern it by, I believe, the polygraph. They don't do urine tests anymore, do they?
I don't believe so. I haven't heard of it. But
yeah,
they do have polygraphs, and a lot of times they do have a wildlife official on hand to make sure fish are legal links.
Oh, I realize it's nerve-wracking. I have. Have you ever fished Frontiers Lakes in Toledo Bend?
I have not.
And you never have? Well, Frontier Lakes is on the border of Louisiana and Texas. And one tournament I went to fish some humps on the Louisiana side. So I told my partner that I need to go to Walmart to get a Louisiana license. And he didn't want to go. But I went anyway, and I got my license. And we went out that morning. We went to those humps, and I landed three big ones. And they were in the live well. And we're heading back toward the bridge, which separates Texas and Louisiana. And the game warden, he put his light on and pulled us over, checked the live well, and then he goes, "Well, boys, I need to see your license." So my partner brings out his Texas license. I bring out my Texas license. He says, no. "You caught those on the Louisiana side. I need to see a Louisiana license." And I brought mine out. My partner didn't have one. And you know what he did, Wesley? He took us to Frontier Parks. And he said, "Listen, how much stuff is in the boat that is yours?" And my partner had three tackle boxes and five rod reels. And the game warden took them out and took them. And he was barred from the tournament. And he got fished by myself. That was it. That was really crazy. I mean, but it teaches you, you always have a fishing license, period. And now let's tell people how we came about, how we meet.
Yeah, we met at Fayetteville County Lake. I
That's right.
Pulled up fishing by myself, and you came up in your Ranger jersey and started chatting, and I had room for you, and we went fishing.
Well, I love it because you're a really good fisherman. Now, tell my listeners what's happening on Friday, October 7th, with you and the Big O. You're going to be teaching kids and adults how to catch the big ones, correct?
No, yeah, we'll teach them everything from how to rig up a rod and how to catch a fish to start with, and then all the way up to catching big ones, anywhere from ponds to lakes.
That is cool. Now, have you ever done any karate or anything before?
See, I did a lot of karate when I was younger. That was like the first sport that I would have gotten into was karate, and I did that for quite a while when I was younger, and then once I got into other sports, I faded away from it.
Well, and thank goodness that, you know, that you did some karate because you understand my craziness, I guess. But, you know, Wesley, you're a hell of a partner, and I love the fact that you're going to be putting on a seminar at 2 o'clock at the West Chase Marriott in Houston, Texas, and we're going to be giving away some Rage Steel packages, and the Big O will be there. It's going to be a big show. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to meet, now you are the 2021 Texas Bass Federation champion, correct?
Yeah, I'm the 2021 Bass Nation Angler of the Year, and then the 2022 Bass Nation Angler of the Year. Got back-to-back years.
If you guys want to meet this guy and learn something, you need to be there. Again, at the West Chase Marriott in Houston, Texas at 2 o'clock, and you'll get to meet this amazing bass fishing champion along with the Big O. Now, Wesley, don't go anywhere because I'm going to do a couple segments, and I'm going to bring you back, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. This is why I'm going to name him Fisherman, talking about him, and that's how we'll end the show. Okay, buddy?
Sounds good.
Super. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really excited because, you know, when you introduce other sports and you're a karate fanatic like I've been my whole life, I get excited because bass fishing was a major part of my career. It's how I paid the mortgage. But, you know, karate has been everything. The reason why I even got into bass fishing, because I wanted to be precise. And karate and other sports teaches you to be precise. So I like to bring on now the 4+1. This is a group of martial artists from around the country who we talk about topics that's really interesting and what their adventure and what they've done. The first person I like to bring on is the lady of the group. She is one of my students and also an A3 Bible from the Sports Writer Museum. And I say student, I mean student friend, because we share so much. She is a PKL champion. She trained in Shorinru Karate and now trains in extensively in Kung Fu, a yoga practitioner, and a dear friend. I'm talking about Karen Fletcher from New Jersey. Karen.
Hey.
Hey. My introduction is getting better and better, isn't it?
I'm telling you, it's almost like you studying up on me a little bit.
Well, you're one of the best. Now, tell me, what other sport have you done or what other activity have you done to make yourself into a master instructor?
All right. When I was in the 60s, I started to study yoga from books. That's all you could find back then. And so I didn't have a lot of help doing it. I just had to read the book and practice it. And as soon as I could, I got into a yoga class. And that really helps with the you're faster if you're relaxed, and that was really good. And I wanted to follow in the footsteps of the Bodhidharma, because he was a yogi that brought the foundations of martial arts to China, but they would not call it what he did yoga. They called it Qigong eventually. Yeah, they called it energy work, but they would not call it its name from India. So I wanted to do that. That was important to me because I love the history. And then I started studying stretching with Master Bull Wallace, and gosh, I guess for about 10 years I studied with him 2 or 3 seminars a year, just the stretching and, of course, the fighting. You couldn't get away with that without fighting. But I wanted the stretching, and then eventually I studied weightlifting just to enhance because I was kickboxing. So that's what I found worked for me. I wasn't a runner, or I couldn't play any sports, really. There was nothing much for females to do. So I stuck to the internal arts.
That's cool. Now, are you looking forward to 2 weeks from now when you're going to be at the West Chase Marriott and hanging out with your old friend?
Yes, I am. I'm going to bring pictures.
Well, yeah, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on, Karen. We got the director of a movie for the museum coming in to check us out and everything. We got the memorial for all those guys who lost. We got some performances. That's going to be incredible. We got over 25 vendors this year for the show, plus the Sports Card Museum display. And but, yeah, we're going to do really well this year. But I can't wait to see you, Karen, because you every time I see you, honestly, you remind me of the old days.
I'm an antique. What can I say?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But, you know, you're a great antique. But, you know, we're going to get to honor the women next year. So you're going to probably try to come next year, too. We're going to honor the women in general. And you went, didn't you come to the one from Malia, or did you come to that one? That's right, that's right. Yeah, that's when you were promoted to 8th Don, which, by the way, congratulations. But, thank you for your opinion and the yoga instinct that you did. And God bless you, Karen. I'm going to move right along now.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Now, D.E., did you get on the line yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've known this young man since he was an orange belt underneath the great Fred Simon, rest in peace. And I actually coached him to a first world championship in the underbelt division at the Super Grand. But, you know, I'm so proud of him. He is now the president of the Amateur Organization of Karate, the largest, I'm talking about the president, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the largest sport karate association in Texas. And I'm so proud of him for being the president. But you know what? I don't really like to brag about that much. I like to brag about this. He has won the MVP of Texas Karate, the Golden Greek, over 5 times. Now, the reason why I say that, it took me 17 years to win one. But he's got over 5. I'm talking about the great D.E. Chambers, David Chambers. David, are you there?
All the way here, sir.
I've been practicing on the intros. I'm getting better, aren't I?
I believe that on our next meeting somewhere else, I'm going to bring you with me just to do that introduction.
Well, D.E., you're a master instructor. You teach every day. But what other sports did you do to become who you became?
Well, first of all, we had a wonderful class tonight. I had some of my Simon Ivers to come visit us tonight. That made me feel so touched. We had Casey O'Brien and Alan O'Shea. They came and visited Billy Singletary. He was not on the phone yesterday. We had Travis Owens. I was on the phone with him on yesterday.
Great college, yeah.
Yeah, that was just beautiful, just plain beautiful. I enjoyed it. I actually, karate is always bad. There's no other sport other than karate. That's my first match. That's my first time. There's no other sport. I did play football. I enjoyed that part. I use a lot of my quote unquote martial arts skills in football. I even taught a college level football using karate. Just defensive end and defensive lineman. I was hired on for one of the coaches, local colleges, and we were just working on simple, pressure points, not takedowns, but, it was takedowns. We were just showing how to do different things, how to displace a person's body weight. So football was a good avenue. The coaching part was a better avenue. But, and I did track. I did a few different sports. But by far, and I don't know if it's not, you may not call it a sport. You may not call it a sport. But the best activity that I ever did that relates to the martial art that helps me become, I call it true martial art, was chess.
Wow.
I always tell people, karate is probably the fourth best thing that I do. Very few people know the other three. Now, I'm going to avoid one of them today, which would be chess. Now, I'm actually better at chess than I am at karate.
You got to be three or four moves of your opponent. That's the secret about chess. And if you don't think three or four moves ahead of your opponent, you're always going to get beat. You always will get beat. But, I didn't know you were a chess player, so I'm going to have to challenge you to give a chance.
I'm saying if you take the chess rules where it says attack a diagonal, think ahead, think three or four moves ahead, capitalize on your opponent's mistakes, have a great end game. I mean, if you go through all the chess rules, we actually apply them to three areas. We apply the chess rules to chess. We apply the chess rules to self-defense.
You're making me smile, D, because, I used to hustle chess in the parks in San Francisco, and it was so much fun. I won a little bit of money, but basically it was more fun challenging people who think they knew. Well, I got beat. Don't get me wrong. But I beat a lot of people. And, it's in time, too. So, but God bless you, man. I'm going to challenge you to game of chess now. I know you're a chess player. That's pretty cool. Well, I got to say it. I want to say it because I love you. I miss Fred. Fred Simon, the first black belt who made first African-American, black American to make black belt underneath the great June Ree. Fred Simon was your instructor, one of my dear friends, and I just want to share with you, buddy, I miss him. And he was supposed to sing this year at Judge Roy Kerman's event. But he will always be in my heart, me, and I know he's in your heart. And having the Simonizers there, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, listen, God bless you, buddy. I'm going to move right along. Now, part of the 4+1, and D.E. is from Houston, Texas. Karen's from North Carolina. I got to jump now to Las Vegas. Now, this man is an amazing man, amazing martial artist. He's a Marine, first of all. Here's what's really cool about him. He's the president of the Black Karate Federation. But that's half the cool. The other cool is he is one of the co-inventors of the Black Karate Federation. Now, he is a mentor, and he worked for Black Belt Magazine was really cool to me, he was Ringo Starr, the Beatles' personal bodyguard. But now he's one of my dear, dear mentors and history generals for the Sport Karate Museum. I'm talking about Mr. Jerry Smith. Jerry, yes, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me time and being on the radio show. And I hope that little bit of introduction is just a taste of what you really are to the world.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, what other sports? Now, I know you were a fencer, but explain a little bit about what other sports have you done to become the black belt that you become?
Well, let me, I hope that everybody will understand this because it's so interesting. When I started in karate, especially on the Heidi Taka Nishiyama, they were scored, the point karate was scored on a killing blow. In other words, two men squared off, and whoever got a blow that the judges thought was a killing blow. I mean, this is the way that it was. You know, it's not that way so much anymore, but then that's what the scoring was. When I started to study with Joe Lewis, he introduced me to the 25 basic fighting principles. And those principles, I'm sure that he got from Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee was smart enough to look at all fighting arts. And if you look at fencing, fencing is based on the kill blow, on the killing blows. So I actually think that karate, martial arts, took their scoring system from fencing. Because if you look at fencing, the strong side, your strong side, is forward. Of course it's going to be forward because your foil is in your front hand. It's closer to the opponent. If you had your foil in your rear hand, you get killed every time. So if you look at some of the 25 basic fighting principles, independent movement, broken rhythm, hyperextension, forward side versus rear side, comes from fencing. Fencing is so explosive and so fast because you go out, and all of a sudden, if you look at Olympic fencing, two guys square off, and boom! And, you know, one guy, depending on defensive choices, has killed the other guy, and they start to get each other to match all over again, I think. But the interesting thing is that once I was introduced to that, I used it in my fighting. In other words, instead of, let me put it this way. I took my girlfriend to a Renaissance fair in Los Angeles. And at the fair, they had a fencing team from a championship fencing team from one of the local colleges. And they were raising money for the college, raising money for something. And if you could beat their, they had their team there. If you could beat their, one of the guys on their team, you have to pay to do it, to actually do it. And they would give you a little certificate, and it was really kind of cool. And I sit there and I watch them. I watch these fencers for about a half an hour. And I went, oh my God, that's exactly, look at, indirect angle, bridging the gap. Everything. So I, paid my $5 and I killed their first four guys in fencing. I understood it. I completely understood it. Their coach was looking at me and he comes over and goes, hey, excuse me. And I go, what? He goes, you just killed four of my guys. He goes, have you ever fenced before? And I go, no. And my girlfriend said, oh, well, he does martial arts. He goes, okay, I see. So fencing had a lot to do. And I think that Bruce Lee was the first to look at it, forward side versus rear side. Another thing that Joe taught me
was to, okay, you got your forward side forward, okay, and the guy thinks that you got your strong side backward. Most really good martial art competitor can fight both sides. And I would lower my right hand, raise it so the guy could see my rib cage, and they'd go for a reverse punch. And I would take a ridge hand and whack them right upside the head because they're so much closer. They could never get in. Boom. So fencing, and when I was teaching at Fremont High School, they had a dance studio. It's where I taught my karate classes. And the class before me was a fencing class, and I would always stay for that class because it's just so amazing. So I would have to say fencing really, really, really helped me become rated number 5 in my weight division by Black Belt Magazine. So I say fencing.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. You're dangerous in two sports, fencing and karate. And now I get to brag about you in two sports. I love it. I love it. Well, moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, after talking to Mr. Jerry Smith, I got a protege of his. He started with him at 16 years old. Now he is a master instructor, teaches every day. He's a professor, but I want to brag about the fact that he's the web designer of the Sport Body Museum webpage. And check it out. You'll have a good time there. There's lots of cool stuff. Go to www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com, and you can see all the cool things that this man has done to the webpage. So I'm going to bring him on right now. Professor Tom Selman.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Professor. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you. A little tired, but very well.
Well, tell me, because you've been around a long time. You're an old-timer. But what other sports have you done to enhance your training?
Well, I wouldn't say that I've necessarily gained a lot of advantages from any sports per se, but, you know, in fact, I transferred from wrestling when I was in school when I discovered the coach discouraged chokeholds and jiu-jitsu-style arm bars during the beginning class of the wrestling class, and transferred to ROTC where I thrived and I got to shoot stuff. So that was really a fun change. From my history or my training, you know, I studied jiu-jitsu with my father at a very, very early age, and that gave me the confidence in the calm and close range confrontations, which really helped in the early 60s JKA era fighting. They trained at sword range with long range entries, so getting close was a great advantage back in those days. And my training in jiu-jitsu was not a sport oriented practice, but a pure combative old school practice from the 1800s and before, from my father's instructor who had migrated from Japan at the turn of the century. I studied Kenjutsu, and that taught me fluidity, grace, longer range motions, and swiftly closing the distance. It emphasized explosive forward movements with sharp distance penetration, coupled with left-right hand combinations and coordination on the katana tsuka, or handle. As far as relationships go, that really helped me in knowing people's needs and everything. I think my interactions accompanying my father to his weekly gatherings on the weekend with his World War II brothers nurtured me in a sense of warrior brotherhood and honor at a young age. I became one of the early American Legion junior members back in the 60s and proudly still have my pin to this day. And as to attention, to detail, discipline, I learned the lessons in my father's cabinet shop as his tailor on the table saw and his assistant as a young child.
So what particular sport you learned, like you said, learning out of a cabinet shop? How cool is that? Did you make furniture?
We made cabinets and we made the different, you know, things like long walnut bars.
That's cool.
That's kind of like so small arrangements in Japan.
and measurements, and that's amazing. That's cool.
You know, it's a balance, grace, and legacy by inner school. With a ballet master teacher, it's a day for a young teen, karate
Someone's got something in the background. Can you mute your phone, please, while the professor speaks? If you can mute your phone if you're not talking, I'd appreciate it so much. Go ahead, Professor. I'm sorry.
So I was, you know, from Taekwondo, I was well stretched out, and the great thing for Mila, my instructor from Russia, was that I could lift the young ballerinas very easily from my strength and my legs, where the one other male member in the school couldn't hardly lift himself. And honestly, the girls were also very on the eyes, too.
Wait a minute. Let's go back here. You say you were a ballet dancer, too?
I was. That's what I went in there for. I wanted to learn
that
balance.
That is great. I love that. I can't see you in a tata, a tutu.
I never got into a tutu. And as big as I was, it probably would have had 4-4 rather than a 2-2. But, you know, whatever. Today, I explore martial arts and expand my skills sets. I'm currently pursuing the practice of Fighting Harris Faction, which is a group in Ireland that teaches Bata Rish, which is a traditional Irish stick fighting art with its current headmaster, a chieftain, in Dublin, Ireland. So, you know, it's
cool.
Worth always finding skills and honing things that sometimes are outside the usual skill set of martial arts that we know and love.
Yeah.
To be able to go keep a certain edge that really, really helps in development, especially as we change and we get older and our bodies change, and you have to approach them sometimes a little bit differently than you did before.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Professor Tom Sullivan. That makes
Gary?
Up the four, but we got the one. Is that AJ?
Yes.
AJ, wait 1 minute, AJ. I'm going to bring you on in 1 minute, AJ. Let me do the one. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, our segment is called the 4+1. Now, we've done the four, Karen Slatcher, D.E. Chambers, Jerry Smith, and Professor Tom Spellman. But the one is very special. He is my financial advisor for the Spokane Museum. He's a history general and a writer for some of the things that you'll see on the webpage. He's an amazing man, 8-3 black belt, and he'll be there in October at Judge Roy Kerman's event, and we'll get to celebrate his career. I'm talking about Mr. James Moore. James, you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, let me ask you, before I ask you about one of the sports you've done, I didn't mean to interrupt AJ. AJ, you got something to say, buddy? AJ. I could have sworn you interrupted. AJ, you there, bud? Okay, live radio, I love it. So anyway, James Moore, what other events have you done in your life, other sports, to help you improve yourself as a martial artist?
Well, I'm going to start with something that I wish I had done, but I did not do. And it's coincidental that Professor Spellman, that Tom mentioned ballet. And when I was young, I watched the dancers. And I look at them, I go, my God, those physical skills that dancers have. And I really wanted to do ballet, and I kind of chickened out because at that time it really wasn't something that, you know, guys were supposed to do. I was concerned I'd be teased too much. So I always regret that I never did that, because I think the dancers, it wasn't so much in the art of ballet, but just more what it does for you physically. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so I didn't do that. And the other sport that I did a little bit, but didn't do very much, I grew up in a baseball family. And my grandfather and my dad both played and coached. And in fact, they coached a couple of players that became well known in the major leagues. And even my brother was asked to try out for the majors, but it was during the Vietnam War. So I grew up in this baseball family, but I never liked baseball very much because to me it just wasn't fluid enough. And I like to keep moving and flowing and in sports. And that really drew me to tennis and basketball, and mostly tennis. You know, with tennis, you got the quickness, agility, balance, hand-eye coordination, and footwork. And footwork is really a key in just about any sport. I had a really kind of fun experience here a couple months ago. I was up in Seattle visiting a very close friend of mine from high school. We used to play tennis together, played on the team, and played after high school. And his son is a top-flight tennis player, and 6'2", strong as an ox. And he was hitting serves to us that were in the 130-mile-an-hour range. Federer and Nadal mostly hit maybe in the 120s, sometimes below that. So in the 130s, these tennis balls are coming at us like bullets. And you only have a split second to react. You don't know what direction those balls are coming from. And it was so much fun, but boy, you have to have reflexes. You really got to hone your reflexes. The other
Uncle Jim, you know, I'm making you laugh a little bit. Do you remember the tree torn balls that were made in Sweden? Remember those balls?
I remember those.
They were pressurized. They weren't pressurized because they were so hard. And please don't think bad of me, but back in the 70s, I used to hustle tennis too. I used the tree torn balls, and I would serve, and when I'd serve, after the guy hit the ball back to me, I would deliberately hit him in the groin, and I would play 3 out of 5, you know, games, and if I won 3 games, I'd win the bet. And most guys don't wear cups in tennis, you know, and those tree darn balls were very hard.
Well, never mind.
And like you said, if you hit a ball, even a regular tennis ball, at 130 miles an hour, you better know what you're doing because they come flying. And if somebody is crazy like I was, deliberately hitting you with the ball back because I was trying to win some money, you know, but, you know, it's a different thing when you play street tennis, you know, it's a different attitude, I guess, but, you know, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that, you know, I had to make a living back then, and I didn't hustle, but I played a little chess, played some pool, and I played a lot of tennis, and you're a pretty good tennis player, huh? You know what, do you remember the Arthur Ashe graphite,
my mind is slipping, man.
But when Arthur Ashe created his first graphite, I got one, and I went through like 4 of them because I broke 2 of them or 3 of them. Fourth one, it cost so much money back then; it cost like $125 a racket, you know, so you couldn't really just go out and buy one. But I used to love those graphites. And then, of course, I went to a rod. God, what was that guy?
Yeah, we're getting off freaking subjects.
Is this AJ?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, AJ. Talk about your sport.
No, you let Robert talk. Like, you know, he was talking. You're interrupting him.
Well, I guess you're my co-host. You have a right to put me in my place.
No, not me.
Anyway,
you interrupted. You're
go ahead. Go ahead.
Not me.
What other sports besides tennis and any other sport?
You interrupted your guest.
Yeah, that's okay. I can finish up here pretty quick. So, anyway, with serves in the 130s and some of them going at my body, talk about having to react quickly or you're going to get really hurt. The other two other sports that I think were really important, one was running. I used to do a lot of running, obviously good for cardio. When I was in grad school at the University of Chicago, they had a famous track club, believe it or not, called the University of Chicago Track Club. And a lot of the top runners in the world, Olympic champions, literally ran track indoors, which was about a half of the regular length of a track. And it was dead of winter, snow outside. And they let me run with them doing interval sprints, which I think is you know, really important, all the explosive power and everything. And they were so much better than me that I usually would run an interval, like maybe 100 meters or 200 meters or whatever. And I would come in way last behind these guys, and I'd have to sit out one interval. They'd run another interval, then I'd come back in. But it was so amazing to run with, you know, truly Olympic athletes. And the last thing is weightlifting. I have to, you know, in martial arts, I just have to feel strong. And I know there's many ways to look at that, you know, with internal energy and everything else. But to this day, I'm not the biggest guy. And to this day, I just have to lift weights. And one of the things that I advise the younger martial artists is to don't, you know, be sure you focus on the physical, because as you get older, you start to lose your strength, you lose muscle mass. And the more you can build the physical up when you're younger, the higher the physical abilities you're going to retain as you get older. So I always advise them, don't short yourself on the physical. Anyway, I'll turn it back to you, Professor, and thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Gerald. I appreciate your insight, and I appreciate the interruption from my co-host saying I interrupted you. AJ, okay. Did you do any other sports besides Tengsuzo?
Oh, yes, I did. I wrestled
did
in high
do?
School under the great Howard Ferguson. He was probably one of the greatest wrestling coaches in national history. You could look that up. And Phil Bova, who was a great mentor of mine, you probably heard when, throwing back the chair when, who was the guy that threw the chair back in the early 90s? What was his name? It was a big thing on NCAA basketball. He threw a chair because he didn't like a call that an NCAA referee liked, or called, I should say. Anyways, Bobby Knight.
Illinois.
Well, he didn't like a call Phil Bova,
Indiana,
you know, called
Indiana,
on.
Not Illinois.
Exactly.
Indiana.
Exactly. Well, Phil was a great mentor of mine, baseball coach, basketball, and a great mentor of mine. And we still play golf all the time. But, you know, I had the opportunity to get mentored by, you know, both of them. And I was, you know, very fortunate, other than my martial arts instructor.
That goes to show. That goes to show on a show like this that everybody who is very proficient in martial arts play other sports. Now, AJ, God bless you. Now, go out and do a call out to Dean, because his dog was just killed in front of his school. So that's why he's not on the show tonight. So give him a call, buddy, and talk to him, okay?
Well, that's a shame.
It is, because he loved that dog. And but Dean will be back next
and
week.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, but you know, I just wanted, you know, our guests to be,
it's,
you know,
okay,
heard.
You gotta put me in my place every now and then, buddy.
That's my job,
I
man.
Love you.
That's my job.
I love you. That's your job.
Love you.
So
too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a 4+1. Four amazing martial artists around the country. Las Vegas, Oregon, North Carolina, and Texas. And I think Uncle Jim Moore's in Las Vegas too. So that's around the country, and you get to hear people's opinions and then throw in my co-host, A.J. Perry from Cleveland, Ohio, then you got a mixture, and that's a 4+1. Now, this next segment is really cool, and he is Dr. Reginald Lee, the inventor of SetVR, virtual reality in the martial arts. Go ahead, Reggie. Tell people about SetVR. We got running a little late, but go ahead.
Yeah. SetVR, self-defense enhancement and training in virtual reality, will immerse you in a simulation program whereby a hologram will attack you when you least expect it with sudden random attacks. We've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen. The hologram will get in your personal space prior to the attack to elevate the adrenaline effect. It is during this adrenaline surge, the fight or flight mode is whereby one would normally have a momentary pause, whereby one would lose at least 50% of what they've been taught in self-defense, and whereby utilizing muscle memory or reflex response will be your only recourse to engage to neutralize your attack. We at SetVR continue to be super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, as a platform whereby you continue to practice your skills and self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact. You can take it anywhere you travel. Even during the pandemic, you continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. We've incorporated a program of mindfulness whereby we've incorporated stretching, meditation exercise, and we'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We'll continue to update SetVR in the future to help you to maximize the practice of self-defense anytime, when you want, where you want. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the history portal, for which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior at the gate of the history portal. But before meeting the wisdom warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal. So we're excited about having our program to be part of his history portal. And Professor Gary Lee, a few words about the core generals, if you could, very quickly about what you'll be planning to introduce into our program.
Well, how exciting it is to be a part of virtual reality. And if you've never done virtual reality, you're inside the program 360 degrees. And with SetVR.app, you can experience it. Now, what we've done is we've put together the history general portals. And we started with a core group. Mike Dillard, the owner of Black Belt Magazine and Century Martial Arts. Roy Kerman, the man who we're honoring this year in October, but invented the two-point kick rule for all martial arts. Mr. George Minshew, the first man to give away a gold ring in open competition. And Chris Minshew, one of the NBL point fighters. Now, after they're introduced, we'll be adding a new history general periodically to be able to teach people about where sport karate came from. And I want to thank you, Reggie, for letting the museum be a big part of this adventure in virtual reality. Thank you so much. Now, again, condolences go to my dear friend, the Wolverine, because his dog was just killed in an accident right in front of his school. So he'll be on next week with Kicking It with the Wolverine. But please,
hey, Gary,
your prayers for this man. Yes, Matt. Yes, sir.
Hey, Gary, he lost two dogs in the past month.
Wow. Wow, that's sad. You know,
yeah.
He'll be on next week. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for allowing me to be in your home with Parts Unknown. But I'm going to bring my guest. Wesley, are you there, buddy?
No, I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with a name, Rick Klun. Have you ever met Rick before?
No, I have never met Rick Klun. But he's an idol of ours.
Eight-time Bassmaster champion. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is such a cool guy. How about Roland Martin? You ever met Roland Martin?
I have met Roland Martin. That's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He's
man.
Big Ranger guy. Well,
nine-time
thank you for being on the show tonight. Wesley, thank you for being on the show tonight. And good luck in the Bass tournament that you're going to at Lakeport, which owns 12, 13, 14 pounders, if you can find them.
We're going to be looking for them. But
well,
thank you for having me.
Well, I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks and your incredible seminar with the Big O. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much. Ladies
thank
and gentlemen,
you,
that concludes our show for the evening. And it's been really interesting talking about something that is totally opposite of karate, bass fishing, but also the other sports that were mentioned tonight, running, weightlifting, fencing, even ballet, and that really, and chess. I can't forget chess. But, you know, to be a good martial artist, to be a decent martial artist, not just in fighting, but in everything, you need to expand your mind. You need to go out there and look and do other adventures. And obviously, the 4+1 has done that, along with my special guest tonight, and Dr. Lee, and of course, the great Jesse Bourne of Elite Publications. So as we say every week, and we mean it from the heart, mahalo, that means much love, and aloha from Hawaii. God bless everybody. Good night.
Aloha. Goodbye, everybody.